From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker, and what a show we have for you today. From MLB Network, we have Fran Charles, the host of MLB Tonight. He's going to talk to us about the trade deadline and some other things going on in Major League Baseball. That plus Foul Affair. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
The trade deadline is quickly approaching on Friday. Rumors going all over the place. And of course, to me, the biggest fish out there is national starter Max Scherzer. We already know, stud pitcher, live arm, tremendous competitor. Add him to your rotation and you have a shot. Obviously, the Nationals won a championship already with Max Scherzer. But the teams that seem to be really vying for him are the Dodgers and the Giants. The Giants are the surprise team in the NL West. Nobody thought they would be in first place as we quickly approach August. It was all about the Dodgers and the Padres. But here we are. Touching August, and the Giants are still in first place. And now, people think they might go for it. They might go and try to do whatever they can to secure Scherzer, which would immensely help their chances of trying to sneak in and win a World Series, not only just winning the division. And for the Dodgers, I don't know why they wouldn't go in. They already have the highest payroll in baseball, and obviously, the Trevor Bauer situation doesn't look like that's going to clear up. So they need another starter. That makes sense. So this is going to be interesting as we talk about the trade deadline on Wednesday evening.
Number two.
Sources told ESPN that Dodgers starter Trevor Bauer has had his MLB administrative leave extended through August 6th. Man, this is a huge mess. Baseball originally put him on the administrative leave for a week, but they keep extending it as investigations by Major League Baseball and the City of Pasadena Police Department just continue. Bauer, of course, is under investigation for domestic violence and assault. And a number of charges, which has derailed his season and the plans the Dodgers had for him. When Trevor Bauer signed in the offseason to the Dodgers, he became the highest paid player in baseball. The Dodgers signed him to a 3-year deal. And now it just seems like everything is up in the air and whether or not he'll ever play for the Dodgers again. That's a big question mark. The Dodgers have basically eliminated him from their website. They canceled a August bobblehead day that they had planned for him. So the water is really murky. But right now, Trevor Bauer still getting paid, but this domestic violence issue and assault case has hampered him and has kept him from pitching for the Dodgers.
Number three.
Coming into Wednesday night, the New York Yankees were 52-47 in third place in the AL East, 8.5 games behind the first place Red Sox. The Red Sox have owned the Yankees. And, you know, they've traded a few relievers already. You know, most teams in the Yankee spot would probably be sellers, thinking it's going to be really hard to make the playoffs and make up that kind of ground in the final couple of months of the season. But, you know, you got to expect the Yankees are just going to fight it out. But this has really been a very disappointing year for the Bronx Bombers and that lineup and the team. Some of the moves that have been made. Brian Cashman, the general manager, has been under fire. Aaron Boone, the manager, has been under fire. And I just think it's time for probably an overhaul in the Bronx. And they need to take a look at where this has gone with the analytics. The right field porch is set up for a home run hitting left-handed bat, which they don't really have in the lineup, and it's too right-handed. There's a lot of things wrong with the Yankees. Even though, I mean, they got 52 wins. The Red Sox have 10 more than them at 62 going into Wednesday. This will be interesting just to see how the trade deadline works out, because I just don't see the Yankees adding anybody, trying to get over the hump. So they're basically going to be shedding some players maybe. This will be interesting to see and how fans react to this, because many people thought the Yankees had a chance to win the division and have another shot at a World Series or another playoff run, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast one of my favorite people and a multi-talented talent in Fran Charles from MLB Network. He, of course, is a host on MLB Tonight, and he worked for the NFL Network and NBC Sports, and I could go on and on and on, but I don't have enough time, Fran. How you doing, buddy?
I've survived quietly, Rob, you know. I've made my way through this maze, and I'm still here. The checks are still clearing, so we'll take it.
That's all we need to know. And one thing before we get started, Fran, I did not, all these years, I didn't know that you went to Columbia J School, because, you know, I did it. I did too.
Yeah, graduated in 91, did that right after I got out of undergrad, and I kind of felt like I went to undergrad at Stanford, and it was a tremendous experience, and, you know, I had an econ degree as well, and I just felt, though, like just with the communication, because Stanford's communication program at the time, you know, is based on theory and not a lot of practical experience, so the opportunity came up. I had smart people tell me, if you can do it, go, as you know, too. You know, a lot of people will tell you don't need it in this business, but I just felt like, you know, it was, education is something no one can take away from you, and quite honestly, to be able to come to New York for a year and, you know, cover stories in the biggest media market in the world, right next to some of the great people who do it professionally, and get that experience, it was invaluable to me. So it kind of set up my base, and then we went from there.
No doubt about it. The only thing is, you came in through the front door. I went through the back door. There was a door open, so I just slipped in. But
I don't know about that.
All right, let's talk about the Major League Baseball trade deadline, which is Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about a lot of different players. You know, a lot of teams are still hovering around. What are you expecting? We've seen some moves so far, Fran. Do you expect a big Friday?
Yeah, I do, you know. I mean, I think one of the things that we've learned is that you may not have thought at the beginning of the year you've got teams like Boston up there, you've got the Giants, you know, that didn't necessarily think it was going to be their year, but you're in it, you know what I mean? And I think baseball, and you'll agree with this because, you know, you've covered so many different sports as well. I think baseball is the hardest team sport to win a championship in, because you just don't, there's so many things that can happen from an individual perspective. So when you get that opportunity, you know, you got to go for it. And I think there are some really smart teams out there, some smart executives. I think it's no secret that Boston is where it is. I think Chaim Bloom and that management has done a nice job. I think Farhan Zaidi out there in San Francisco, coming from first the A's and the Dodgers, he's done a great job in San Francisco, and they've got that core that kind of won that dynasty, you know, three championships in 5 years. So I expect some teams to get a little bit busier. The Rays, obviously, I think made a nice move with Nelson Cruz. We just saw the A's earlier today. They picked up Starling Marte, who's a great player. So I expect, you know, Thursday and Friday to get a little wild.
How about the Chicago Cubs? You know, they have a lot. They have that core of guys that they had when they won the championship, breaking that 200-year drought or whatever it felt like. But there's a chance Chris Bryant, you know, and some of those guys might not be there. Do you expect the Cubs to be blown up?
I do, actually. You know, and it's funny because Jed Hoyer made a comment last week that basically life comes at you fast. And if you go back 6 to 7 weeks ago, the Cubs were on top of the Central. And again, people didn't expect them to be there as well. I don't know why, because they had a ton of talent. Pitching maybe was a little suspect. But with that core, when everyone's clicking on all cylinders, it didn't surprise me that they were doing well, especially in the NL Central, which I don't think is the toughest of divisions. But then the bottom kind of fell out here. And, I mean, they had dropped like, you know, 25 in their last 35 or so. And they're looking up big time. And so I just think they're too smart. You know, Jed's too smart. You got some talented players there. A lot of them will be free agents at the end of the year. Wilson Contreras at the end of next season. And it makes too much sense for them not to do something here. So I think they're going to try to keep hold of just one of them. But and I think it could be Javi Baez. I think it could be Anthony Rizzo. But definitely, I think in a couple of days, I mean, Chris Bryant could be gone. Even Contreras. I think Wilson Contreras would be a great fit for San Diego. They're kind of thin at catching, and that could help and kind of put that team in a position where they could see if they can climb up the ladder in the NL West and make a move to see if they can get close to the Giants. But I do think the Cubs definitely are going to see what they can get back for you know, some of these guys who were core members, I mean, obviously, of ending that World Series drought on the north side of Chicago.
No doubt. Our guest is Fran Charles. He is a host at MLB Tonight on MLB Network. And Fran, a team that, you know, going into the season you thought would make a run or be in the mix, the Washington Nationals, but it just hasn't worked out. They're pretty far out of it. And, you know, all the talk, but, you know, about Max Scherzer being dealt, and he has a no-trade clause, so there's only a few teams that he would be willing to go to. But this is on the heels of Steven Strasburg being injured and having to have neck surgery. Can the Nationals really trade Max? You know what I mean? Not knowing the future of Steven Strasburg?
Well, I mean, one thing they can do, and we've seen, you know, and I think the Nationals are one of these teams, you know, I think they can move him, and then if they want, they can re-sign him. And look, they've got pockets that are deep enough to do so. Strasburg, obviously, his contract is huge. But it's funny, you know, Mike Rizzo, the general manager in Washington, too, he's another guy who said, look, we're going to be in it until we're not. So, you know, he had multiple strategies and plans in place, depending upon what happened with this team this week. But definitely the news that Strasburg is not coming back was a crusher. And right now they're going through, I mean, I literally just got a note here. They've got a number of players who are dealing with COVID-19. So their game tonight has been canceled against Philadelphia. So things are kind of going sideways right now for Washington. But you know, we've seen the Yankees do that before. We've seen the Cubs do that before, where they've traded guys and then brought them back. I think if you have an opportunity to get your hands on Max Scherzer and you're one of these teams that is trying to make a push for the World Series, I mean, I think you do whatever you can. Obviously, you can't give up, you know, everything, but, you know, Max Scherzer is a gamer. Max Scherzer is old school. Max Scherzer and you know him, Rob. Yep. I mean, uber competitive. You know, there were questions about the contract when he signed it with Washington about whether, he was going to hold up with his funky delivery, and man, has he held up, and he's 36. But the guy still, I mean, he pitches like he's, you know, late 20s, early 30s, still can get up there, you know, close to triple digits with velocities. Only thing is he does give up home runs, but other than that, he's a guy you can put out there and you know he's going to give you everything he has. So if you're one of these teams that has an opportunity to get him, I say, I mean, don't hesitate. Do what you got to do.
Yep. I saw him in Detroit where he blossomed and came of age. So you're right on. You're spot on when it comes to Max Scherzer.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Fran, let's finish up with the biggest surprise of the baseball season thus far. It could be negatively or positive. Just a team that you didn't expect to be where they are as we approach August.
I'll give you a disappointment first from a team perspective, and then I'll give you a surprise from a player perspective. And to me, it's the Minnesota Twins. You know, I think that they were in the offseason, you know, so many people thought that they were going to be a team, and the White Sox had a lot of juice in the AL Central, and people thought the White Sox would be there as well. But the Twins were really built to win now. And, you know, the pitching was always going to be a question mark. Like every team, by the way, pitching is always going to be an issue. But the pitching was kind of the one weakness. But, man, I did not see them, I mean, getting out of the gate as slowly as they did and then just basically never being able to recover. And that to me, there were high expectations in Minnesota. To me, that's the biggest disappointment. The biggest surprise to me is Shohei Ohtani. I mean, look, we got to tip our caps to this guy. I mean, we've never seen anybody do anything like this. We were on the set going crazy last night, John Smoltz and myself. I mean, when he hit home run number 36, 463 feet. I mean, you know, and even Smoltz said, because Smoltz for the longest, his, you know, there's a big group of people who think he'd be better off being a closer if he's going to go ahead and hit every day, but because they just don't, you know, the preparation that it takes to be a starter, you know, a lot of people thought the hitting was just going to be too much. But even John, I mean, he copped last night. He said, look, I was wrong. He said, what this guy is doing is truly amazing. And I know a lot of people throw up Babe Ruth, but what Babe Ruth did compared to what it's really night and day. I mean, this guy throws 100 and he can turn around 100 miles an hour. And he's having so much fun doing it. And, you know, I think we really got to just kind of soak this in, because we have never seen anything like this. And, you know, it's unbelievably special. For him, it's probably no big deal because he's done it his entire life ever since, you know, as long as he's been playing it over in Japan. But to come here and do this against, the, you know, the best players and compete with the best players in the world, I mean, and be a dominant starting pitcher, and then, oh, by the way, you know, one of the best hitters in baseball. I mean, he leads the league in slugging and homers. I mean, it's not only historic, I don't know if we'll ever see it again.
No doubt. He's been unbelievable, just as advertised. And I know people weren't sure when they heard all the hubbub about him, but we see it. And he is no doubt a stud. Hey, Fran, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, and continued success. Check him out, Fran Charles, on MLB Tonight on MLB Network. Thanks, Fran.
Hey, thank you, man. You paved the way. I mean, you've been at this for a long time. I mean, you continue to do great work. And, you know, without Rob Parker, there's no Fran Charles. And I want to say thank you for everything that you've helped me throughout my career. So big ups to you, my man.
Thank you, my man. That means a lot. Thanks, Fran.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
With a trade deadline looming on Friday, it's time for front offices to decide whether they're planning for baseball or golf come October. Now, that got me thinking about some of the greatest deadline acquisitions in MLB history. Did you know only two players have ever hit 20-plus homers for their new team after coming over in a July trade? Mark McGwire in 1997, the year before he broke Roger Maris's record, hit 24 for the Cardinals, but J.D. Martinez blew him out of the water in 2017, going from Detroit to Arizona, crushing 29 home runs in that time, including a four-homer game at Dodger Stadium in September of that season. Also, don't forget, Manny Ramirez finished fourth in NL MVP voting in 2008 after playing only 53 games for the Dodgers. Yes, his 1232 OPS was that good. On the mound, was there ever a better deadline acquisition than CC Sabathia for the Brewers in 2008? Coming over from Cleveland, Sabathia went 11-2 with a 1.65 ERA and 17 starts for Milwaukee with a, yes, league-leading 7 complete games and 3 shutouts, leading the Brew Crew to their first playoff berth in 26 years. Now, time will tell if anybody switching teams this year will have that type of impact.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, from MLBBro.com, here's JR Gamble.
JR, Is it foul or is it fair to say the Dodgers should give up on Trevor Bauer returning this season and go after an arm like Max Scherzer if they hope to repeat as World Series champions?
Fair.
It's a fair ball.
Any hopes that the Dodgers had of Trevor Bauer returning before the playoffs or even season's end is dashed with the postponement of his recent court hearings. Nearly a month after he last pitched for the Los Angeles Dodgers, Bauer appeared in Los Angeles Superior Court Friday for a civil hearing in which he was to contest a temporary constraining order filed against him by a 27-year-old San Diego woman, and the pitcher's representatives were to refute and defend him against sexual assault allegations. He won't be seeing a courtroom again until August. So with that in mind, and the Dodgers slugging it out with San Francisco and the San Diego Padres for the division, they are definitely short an ace in the rotation. And over the long haul, it could dead their chances of repeating as World Series champions. If Max Scherzer is truly available, the Dodgers have no choice but to grab him up. He's probably an upgrade from Bauer. If not, at least is equal, and he's battle-tested and a World Series champion. Imagine Scherzer pitching on a team as talented as the Dodgers. He's actually the perfect piece, especially for the playoffs, because without Bauer or Scherzer, the Dodgers are hoping and praying for a World Series repeat, and I don't see it happening.
Turn money into more money.
Now it's time for Betting on the Bases with Dave Gascon.
Love that money. Love that money.
Hey, Rob, thank you very much. There's a handful of games I'm looking at, one in particular, Angels and A's. This game taking place, though, in Anaheim. Patrick Sandoval is starting in this ball game. And the important note, he's coming off his last performance, which he went 8 1/3 innings of no-hit ball. Opposing side is Chris Bassitt, 10-3 with a 3.46 ERA. I'm going to take the Angels in this one. Matchup of divisional opponents. So I'm taking the Halos in this affair with Patrick Sandoval on the bump. Other one I'm taking a peek at is the San Diego Padres. They're at home against the Colorado Rockies. Rockies, one of the worst teams in all of Major League Baseball, but they have a mere 11 wins on the road this season, 37 losses. Ryan Weathers versus John Gray in that pitching matchup. And of course, we stay in the National League West, Dodgers and Diamondbacks. Arizona's got off of the season. In fact, going into this ball game, 40 games under 500, I'm taking the Los Angeles Dodgers in the victory in this one, despite the fact Mookie Betts has been banged up. Cody Bellinger batting sub 200. They have enough offensive firepower, and the pitching staff has been tremendous this season, so I'm going with LA in the victory.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast Malik Wright. He's a content reporter for MLBBro.com. What's up, Malik? How are you?
I'm good. Doing great, Rob. How are you?
All is well. I wanted to talk to you because you're based down there in Dallas. You're at the ballpark with the Rangers a lot. Obviously, their season is all but over at 36-65 going into Wednesday night's action. But Malik, they're making some moves and doing a few things, including bringing up one of their hot prospects. And that's who I really want to talk to you about is Curtis Terry, the first baseman. Tell me about him, and why should Ranger fans be excited about Terry?
Okay, well, this is sort of a draft gem for the Rangers. He was picked in the 13th round of the 2015 draft, Curtis Terry. Of 2018, he won the minor league, the Tom Greaves Minor League Player of the Year Award in the system, 2019, I'm sorry. In 2020, he wasn't on the 60-man roster at all, so, you know, due to COVID, a lot of minor league players had to sit the season out, which really hampered development on a lot of people if you weren't on those specific rosters or able to be at the camps with the team down in Florida. But he played good this year in the fall league, and then this season in the minors, 17 home runs, 53 RBIs, a 958 OPS. So he's been a great piece. He's going to be a great piece for the Rangers. Obviously, a lot of them are struggling hitting. He came up this weekend for their series against the Astros. The Astros have a tough pitching staff, so he was held hitless. But he's in the lineup Wednesday night for the Rangers against the Diamondbacks as a designated hitter.
Yeah, I mean, people are excited. There's a lot of buzz about him, so that's great to see. The other thing I wanted to check in on the Rangers is that on Wednesday, the Rangers also announced that they signed Jack Leiter, the pitcher, of course, son of Al Leiter, the former major leaguer. And he was the number two overall pick in this year's MLB draft. And they gave him a huge bonus, just under $8 million, which is the fourth largest bonus in draft history and the largest given to any pitcher since Garrett Cole got the $8 million as the first overall pick in 2011. Tell us about Jack Leiter and the expectations and for him.
Well, he's one of those two Vanderbilt aces, him along with Kumar Rocker, who he ended up falling to 10 to the Mets. He's actually dealing with a few elbow issues, but Leiter was the best pitcher in college this year. Actually, even with all the accolades that Rocker had to begin his career the last season, this year Leiter was better. One of the best fastballs in the entire draft, a killer slider. I think Ranger fans are going to see him called up probably next year. I don't think we waste any bullets with him this year in this sort of wasted season, but he has a lot of high expectations. The Rangers aren't known for being an organization that has had much success with their young pitchers, especially in recent years. We've had some with our batters, with guys like Joey Gallo and Nick Solak, but the pitching's got to come, and it's got to come soon, and I think Lauder's going to get the job done for us, be a great piece, a great head, a great ace of our rotation, I should say.
All right, there he is, Malik Wright from MLBBro.com. Check him out. He does great work for the website. All right, Malik, we appreciate you.
All right, I appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Batter up!
It's Jones in for Baseball.
Cowboy!
A fan's take on the game we love.
You're out!
Hello, everyone. This is Jones Whitner. I hope everyone is doing well. I got to just be honest really quick. I'm mad excited for this one right here. The last time I left off, I touched briefly on how trades were right around the corner, and since then, two colossal trades have happened. One with Adam Frazier going to the Padres from the Pirates, and a staple in the Twins organization and longtime slugger Nelson Cruz joining the Rays. But despite all that, there's something else I saw last week that I have to bring up. I'm referring to the Giants versus Dodgers series. Now, one might think, out of all the series the Dodgers and Giants have played, what's so special about this one, bro? Well, since you're listening to this podcast, that means you weren't born in the last week. So you already know that this series was going on at the same time as the NBA Finals were. And usually, I watch games in order of importance, meaning what's at stake as a result of the game. But this time, I found myself stuck. I mean, stuck on Giants versus Dodgers. I mean, games 1-4 all had late inning heroics. Yeah, the final score for game one was 7-2 Giants, but the score was 3-2 in the seventh, and the Giants put on 4 runs in that inning. Fast forward to the next game, Will Smith got their get back in the bottom of the ninth with a 3-run home run. The following game, we saw Wilmer Flores get his revenge with a 2-run home run in the top of the ninth. In the finale, another late inning surge by the Giants catapults them over the Dodgers to win the series 3-1. But hold up, though. Don't think I'ma just ignore the fact that Buster Posey in his 12th season is hitting 320 with an on-base percentage over 400 to go with an OPS over 950 as a catcher. And if you missed the series last week, I've got great news for you. These same teams started a brand new series on Tuesday with the Giants taking the first of 3 games and claiming the best record in the league and the top spot in the NL West. Day by day, we're inching closer to the finish line of the season. With trades happening every day now, we're setting up for a dramatic finish to the season in which many teams who are right there in shouting reach, in theory, could make some deals that could catapult them to the top. This is exactly why we watch the game we love, baseball.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Reason number 495 why Major League Baseball is better than the NBA and better than the NFL is that in Detroit, they have started the countdown at Comerica Park. The idea that, yes, Miguel Cabrera, Miggy, has two big milestones clearly in sight, and there's a chance that fans could get to see him, if they're lucky, do those things at home at Comerica Park. Miggy is five home runs shy of 500 and 64 hits shy of 3,000. Obviously, the 64 hits is going to be tougher, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. But the five home runs shy of 500 means that there could be a special day to be at Comerica Park to watch Miguel Cabrera, one of the all-time great hitters, right-hand hitters in baseball, perform and reach these milestones. So if you're at Comerica Park in like left center field, they now have big signs up where they change every time he gets a home run or a hit, tracking where, you know, his ability to try to reach 500 and 3,000 hits. Both on my ballot. If you reach either one of those, you automatically get my Hall of Fame vote. So there is something to be excited about in Detroit, even though the team has played much better of late. But Miguel Cabrera tracking history. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.